Once upon a time, there was a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and his gabbai. What was the machlokas? When Rabbeinu Tam was in the Shiva period, the 7 days following the death of a close relative, it was Shabbos, and he was in shul, and the gabbai did not call Rabbeinu Tam up for his customary aliyah, which was the third aliyah. Rabbeinu Tam, in spite of the fact that the gabbai didn't say Yamod Merinu v'Rabbeinu, he went up to the bima and he took the aliyah. He didn't let anybody else take it. So the gabbai presumably thought that giving Rabbeinu Tam an aliyah would be a violation of his hanhagos avilos. It would cause Rabbeinu Tam to transgress those things which he's forbidden from doing as an avil. Rabbeinu Tam himself held that getting the aliyah was not a transgression. To give a little bit more background, the Gemara tells us that on Shabbos, we differentiate between two different types of hanhagos avelos. There are hanhagos, which are dvarim shebetzina, they're private, individual hanhagos. And then there's other hanhagos, which are dvarim shebifarhasya, they're public, collective hanhagos. The dvarim shebetzina, a person is obligated to observe on Shabbos. Dvarim shebifarhasya, person is forbidden from observing on Shabbos. So at first glance, it would seem that the gabbai felt that getting an aliyah was considered dvarim shebetzina. He felt that Rabbeinu Tam was therefore bound to observe this dvarim shebetzina on Shabbos, whereas Rabbeinu Tam himself felt that getting an aliyah, that refraining from getting an aliyah, is considered dvarim shebifarhasya. Therefore, he went up and got the aliyah. That's the surface explanation of this dispute. However, we need to investigate this a little bit more deeply. Clearly, we have two different definitions of what is a threshold between Dvarim Shebetzina and Dvarim Shebefarhasya. Two different definitions of what each of these terms mean. According to one definition, getting an aliyah is Dvarim Shebetzina. According to the other definition, it's Dvarim Shebefarhasya. So we have to understand what these two definitions are. And perhaps also, there are two different understandings of why it is that an avel is forbidden from practicing, from behaving, from showing his avelos with regard to the dvarim shebefarhasya, and why it is that in spite of that, he is still obligated to observe the avelos in the dvarim shebetzina. Two different explanations. According to one, getting an aliyah would not be a violation of Kavod Shabbos. According to the other, getting an aliyah would be such a violation. So what are these two different definitions of Dvarim Shebetzina and Dvarim Shebefarhasya? And what are the two different reasons that would explain the distinction when it comes to Shabbos between Dvarim Shebetzina, which he continues to observe, and Dvarim Shebefarhasya, which he's not allowed to observe on Shabbos? I want to turn, in order to understand this better, to another machlokas. The Gemara tells us that there are three activities which are classified as a paradigmatic Dvarim Shebefarhasya. The first activity is Atipas HaRosh, covering up the head to the point where the beard, the mouth, and the mustache, and maybe even the nose, are all covered up. It's called Atifas Yishmaelim. If you're traveling in a desert where there are vicious windstorms, you want to make sure that dust, sand, is not blown into your beard, into your throat, into your mustache, into your nose. So therefore you place a heavy piece of cloth over those areas of your body. And the Yishmaelim tend to travel in the desert, used to go around like that all the time. So we say that during Avelos, it used to be the minhag that people would wrap themselves up like Atifas Yishmaelim. It's sort of to symbolize a retreat, an inward reflection, a disassociation from society. All that you reveal is your eyes, not the nose and not the mouth. The person's retreating into a shell. That was one of the things that people did during Avelos. On Shabbos, however, a person is not allowed to do this. This is a Davar Shabifarhasya. That's number one. Number two, Davar Shabifarhasya is wearing torn clothing. The Avel wears torn clothing to symbolize that his heart is rent, something that sort. And on Shabbos, he's not supposed to wear torn clothing. He's supposed to either turn around his tunic so that the tear, the rip, does not show, or even better, to change into a unripped tunic. The third paradigmatic davar shebeferhesia is kefiyas hamita, lowering the bed. So ordinarily the avilim lower the beds, and on Shabbos they're obligated to raise the beds up to the regular level. Those are the three dvarim shebeferhesia. However, there is a dispute amongst the Rishonim about whether these activities, these types of conduct, are uniformly prohibited on Shabbos, or whether under some circumstances these types of conduct are permitted. The Halachos Gedolos, the Behag, representing the Shita of the Geonim in general, argues that these three activities are only prohibited on Shabbos when other people are going to be there to see them in practice. You're not allowed to cover your nose and your mouth, etc., with a heavy scarf when other people are there to see you do so. But when you're in solitude, when you're in private, you're permitted to cover your nose and mouth with this heavy scarf, ke'atifas ayish me'ilim. The same thing with torn clothing, says the Behag. When people are there, when people are visiting you, when you're walking in the street or when you're going to shul, you're obviously not allowed to wear a torn tunic. However, once again, when you're in solitude, when you're alone, when there's nobody with you to observe you, you are permitted to wear the torn tunic. Number three, the same thing is a kivas amita. When people are walking around your house, you're not allowed to have the beds low down, because then the people will see that you're being nohig with kfiyas hamita, with lowering the bed. However, when the doors of your house are locked and you have no visitors inside, you are allowed to lower the bed even on Shabbos. The basis of the Shita of the Geonim and the Shita of the Behag is that they define Dvarim Shebetzina as activities that take place in private. And they define Dvarim Shebeferhasya as activities which take place in public. So in other words, it's the context of the activity that matters, not the identity of the activity. Any activity of Avelos which takes place in a public context, in front of the full view of visitors, guests, or other people, is considered Dvarim Shebeferhesya. Any activity which takes place in a private, solitary context, regardless of what that activity is considered Dvarim Shebetzina. So it's something which is flexible, which has to be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Are people there? Then don't do it. Is nobody there? Then it's okay. That's the Shita of the Behag, the Shita of the Geonim. However, there are many Rishonim who dispute this Shita. And these Rishonim argue that the definition of Dvarim Shebetzina and the Dvarim Shebeferhesya is totally disassociated from the context in which these activities are performed. Rather, Dvarim Shebetzina means actions which are inherently private, inward actions. Dvarim Shebeferhesya means actions which are inherently public and outward actions. It makes no difference whether the Dvarim Shebetzina are being performed in front of people or not in front of people. They may be performed on Shabbos. And similarly, it makes no difference whether the Dvarim Shebeferhesya are being done in solitude or in public. They may not be practiced on Shabbos. Across the board, it makes no difference whether there are people there, whether there are no people there. Those activities which inherently are defined as Dvarim Shebetzina are permitted to be practiced on Shabbos, and those activities which are inherently defined as Dvarim Shebeferhesya are forbidden from being practiced on Shabbos. Okay, so now we have this machlokes. We can go back and connect it to the discussion of Rabbeinu Tam and his Gabbai. Presumably, I think this is one possibility, Rabbeinu Tam may argue that that we adapt the flexible, the geonic definition of Dvarim Shebetzina and Dvarim Shebeparhesia. Therefore, Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, which if we were to define it inherently, we would define it as Dvarim Shebetzina. It's a private, individual, almost lonely occupation. So Talmud Torah, Torah study is a Dvarim Shebetzina. However, the Gaonim say that even Dvarim Shebetzina, when they're being done in a public context, may not be practiced on Shabbos. So Zok Rabbeinu Tam, that even though Talmud Torah is a Dvar Shebetzina, but because in Shul, if he were to refrain, to abstain from Torah study, if he were to abstain from receiving the Aliyah, so then that would be a Dvar Shebeferhesia. It's not so much the nature of the activity, Talmud Torah, which governs, which determines its prohibited or permitted status, but rather it's the context. Is the activity being performed in public, or is it not being performed in public? So even though Talmud Torah, in private, when no one's there, not allowed to learn, because it's a Dvarim Shebetzina, but when a lot of people are there, and they'll realize that Rabbeinu Tam is abstaining from learning, so then it adapts the character of Dvarim Shebeferhesia, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam was not allowed, believed that he was not allowed to abstain or refrain from receiving that aliyah on Shabbos, because a lot of people were there, and they would think that he was abstaining from the aliyah because of his avelos. In contrast, the Gabbai of Rabbeinu Tam held that Dvarim Shebetzina and Dvarim Shebeferhesia had to do with what the activities were, not the context in which they're performed. And therefore, since Talmud Torah is inherently defined as a Dvar Shebetzina, it makes no difference whether this abstention from Talmud Torah is being done in solitude or in front of the masses of people. Since Talmud Torah is inherently a Dvar Shebetzina, it may not be studied by an Avel. The Avel has to continue practicing his abstention from Talmud Torah on Shabbos the same way that he would during the week. So I think that there may be a conceptual connection between this dispute between Rabbeinu Tam and his Gabbai. Obviously, by the way, we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, and between the dispute between the Geonim and some Rishonim with regard to covering the head, to wearing a torn tunic, and to lowering the bed. We want to make a third connection to this dispute as well. There is a machlokes about how Shabbos differs from Yom Tov. We know that on Shabbos, so Shabbos counts as one of the days of Shiva. Yontif does not count as one of the days of Shiva. If a mace dies on Shabbos, so then that's already counts as the first day of Shiva. If a mace dies on Yontif, so then Yontif does not count as the first day of Shiva. Shiva begins after Yontif. So there's two different opinions about why that is so. There's an opinion of Tosfos. Tosfos tells us on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis that there is a fundamental distinction between the reasons, the biblical sources for the prohibition to practice Avelos on Shabbos and the prohibition of practicing Avelos on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, there is a mitzvah of Isamachta Bechagecha. There's a mitzvah to be happy, Simcha. And that mitzvah of Simcha pushes aside Hanhagos of Avelos. In contrast, on Shabbos, there is no mitzvah of Simcha. This is the position which is maintained by Tosfos. There is no mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. However, Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, there is a pasuk which says, Birkas Hashem hi ta'ashir, that the blessing of God will make a person rich, v'lo yosif etzev ima, and it will not increase sadness with it. So when you have blessing of God, there cannot be a tosefes etzev, an increase of sadness. Say Tosfos, by Shabbos we find that Hashem blessed Shabbos, by Yivarech as a Shabbos. Hashem blessed the day of Shabbos. So since Shabbos is blessed by Hashem, there cannot be a tosefes etzev, an increase of sadness. This, says Tosfos, is what allows us to observe some types of avelos on Shabbos. It's what allows us to observe the Dvarim Shebetzina on Shabbos. I believe the explanation for this is as follows. Unlike an obligation of Simcha, the obligation not to be Mosif Etzev, allows an etzev, a sadness, which is already in place, to continue. The only thing which it demands is that we not promulgate sadness, that we not proliferate sadness. On Yontif, we have an objective to minimize sadness. In order for Yontif to be a day of simcha, a day of happiness, we have to drive sadness away. On Shabbos, however, there's no obligation to drive sadness away. There's merely an obligation to contain sadness, to make sure that sadness does not spread. So by doing Dvarim Shebitzina, a person is simply continuing with the sadness which already exists. He's not spreading the sadness to others. It's only the Dvarim Shebifarhesya, those things which are performed in a public context, when other people are around, which will cause other people to empathize with him, and therefore it'll make them sad. In addition to the oven himself being sad, which is a pre-existing sadness, if he is knowing the Dvarim Shebifarhesya, if he acts sad in public, then he will cause others to empathize with him, and they will become sad. That's a Tosefes Etzev, which he's not allowed to do. However, the Dvarim Shebitzino, when he's acting in a private context, then he's not spreading his sadness. He's keeping it to himself. No one else is being affected. No one else is being contaminated on Shabbos with his sadness. Therefore, it's not considered a Tosefes Etzev, and it is not a violation of the biblical source, which obligates us not to be Noheg Avelos on Shabbos. That's the opinion of Tosos. And I think that this opinion works very well with the flexible, the fluid definition of Dvarim Shebitzino that seems to be adapted by Rebbe Yotam and by the Gaonim, namely that it depends. If there's nobody there, so then by acting, by practicing Avelos, you're not going to be spreading sadness. However, if there are other people there, then by practicing Avelos, there will be a spread of sadness, and therefore practicing Avelos is forbidden when other people are there, when they'll understand that you're doing what you're doing in order to give voice to your sadness. However, there is another interpretation about why it is that a person is not supposed to observe Avelos on Shabbos, and that interpretation is advanced by the Ri, and is cited by the Hagahos Maimonios and by the Beis Yosef. The Ri argues that a person is unqualifiedly allowed to study Torah on Shabbos. Why, says the Ri? Because on Shabbos there's also mitzvah of simcha. A person is supposed to be happy on Shabbos. Torah makes a person happy. Therefore, even an Avel should study Torah on Shabbos, because the Avel has an obligation to be happy on Shabbos. So according to the Ri, the source of the cessation of Avelos on Shabbos is not simply this idea of Lo Yosef Etzev Ita, of Birkas Hashem, but rather it's an independent obligation of Simcha. This is a major chiddush. We usually understand that there is no obligation to have Simcha on Shabbos. But the Ri seems to think that there is an obligation to have Simcha on Shabbos, and that's why the Ri says that the Avel should study Torah on Shabbos, because it will make him happy. So this being so, it has nothing to do with other people versus himself. That distinction loses its significance for the Ri, because even the Avel himself is supposed to combat, he's supposed to drive out the sadness and make himself happy. Why are Dvarim Shebitzina Noeg? So we'll have to ask ourselves that. Why are Dvarim Shebitzina Noeg? I believe it's for a different reason. A reason which does not define Dvarim Shebitzina in terms of the context, the publicity of the action versus the privacy of the action, but rather based on the inherent identity of the action. The Dvarim Shebitzina are things which a person can fool himself, trick himself, convince himself that he's not really doing them because he's sad. He's really doing them for his own comfort. The way, for example, that the Mordechai says that Avel, generally, they didn't wear shoes. So you're allowed to not wear shoes on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to not wear shoes? Because you can always say, well, I'm not wearing shoes because the shoes hurt my feet. I'm not wearing shoes because it's more comfortable not to wear shoes. That's a Dvarim Shebitzino, which is Mutar on Shabbos. The Dvarim Shebitzino are activities which there's an excuse for not doing them on Shabbos, or for doing them on Shabbos. And they're things which an Avel is obligated to do, but other people who are not Avelim will do them as well. Therefore, the Avel is not really clearly doing them for avelos, he can always claim he's doing them for another reason, and therefore they're not going to detract from his simcha as much as activities which are unique and only performed or abstained from by avelim. Those activities, which nobody normal does, only avelim do, those are the type of things that really are going to impact detrimentally on his simcha level on Shabbos. But anything which he could potentially do for other reasons, for to reduce pain or to increase pleasure, etc., those inherently are defined as dvarim shebetzina and are permitted to be practiced on Shabbos. So basically, again, returning to the original question, it seems that we do have two distinct definitions of what is dvarim shebetzina, dvarim shebeferhesya. The first definition is something which is performed in front of people in public versus something which is performed in private when no one's around. The second definition being that dvarim shebeferhesya are things which are clearly only being performed because one is observing the observances of avelos, whereas dvarim shebetzina are things which there may be other reasons why a person is performing them. And we also have two different sibos, two different reasons why on Shabbos we differentiate between dvarim shebetzina and dvarim shebeferhesya. One reason is not to detract, not to add sadness to those around us, meaning for others. Second reason being to detract from our own sadness on Shabbos. Yisro koach.